Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're very happy to be here. I would like to thank Capital Link on behalf of all the panelists and myself for the invitation. Tourism is Greece's heavy industry, and each of the last couple of years has been breaking one record after another. This success has caused many of the hospitality sectors to undergo transformative changes, and has raised the public awareness over environmental and social side effects, particularly for over-tourism. Needless to say that all this increased the work for lawyers and the need for legal specialization, such as myself. So I'm really delighted to be moderating this expert panel on hospitality, and without further ado, I will introduce the first panelist, Mr. Ioannis Orfanos. Ioannis is a partner and head of capital markets at Colliers Greece and Cyprus. He's a seasoned real estate professional with over 20 years of experience in the investment management capital markets, with a strong track record in the real estate sector. In the hospitality space, he works with international investors, major hoteliers, and leading financiers to originate, underwrite, and bring forward transactions and value-add investments. So, Ioannis, how do you see the investment landscape evolving in the Greek sector? Does the interest still remain strong? And what type of investors do you see, circling the market?
Thank you, George. First of all, we are missing the investor. It's supposed to be an investor next to me. Hopefully he's doing some deals outside this room, but we might have more investors in this room, especially from the U.S., because one of the things I want to mention, and it's very important, is that Greece has become one of the top Mediterranean destinations for hospitality investments, has attracted and continues to attract. Oh, here he is.
Our investor just came. Yes. So
we're still having investors in the panel. So attracts prominent international investors who are focusing mostly, and they have been focusing mostly in the past few years on resort hotels in popular destinations, as well as on some, I would say, smaller investors, some boutique hotels in Athens. That has been the main trend. We have also seen a lot of domestic players being very active with the support of the Greek banks, with a lot of bankable projects, that have been also acquiring assets and investing in expanding, upgrading existing assets. One of the main trends we have seen, and it's very important to stress this out, is that there has been a lot of investment in so-called ultra-luxury hotels, not just five-star, but upscale luxury hotels. We have seen brands that in the past, let's say if someone would see the market 10 years ago, they would only think that one or two hotels were branded, really branded, and one was just Grand Bretagne in those hotels, and maybe Costa Navarino, but nothing else. And in the past years, especially the past few years, we have seen brands that nobody was expecting to be in Greece, from starting from the obvious, from the Four Seasons down to One and Only, and the W's and the Mandarin Orientals, and all the big brands that are here in New York and you feel very familiar with. But this was something new for Greece. So that investment has also gone to more integrated type of resorts, where they try to also not just have the hotel asset, but also combine it with residences, branded or not, and more integrated with golf courses or even marinas. So we have seen gradually a sophistication, which is very important. At the same time, there is investment in the main resort destinations to basically... Investors are looking for mostly value-add investments, where they either buy to fix, upgrade, expand, rebrand, better operate, and maybe hold or flip these assets. This started a few years ago, and we have seen some successful exits. That's very important, because Greece has and is proving to the market, international market, international investors, hopefully we have some of these investors here, that you can actually... make good returns in Greece. And when I say good, I mean very good returns. And we have seen these exits. We had some successful. Maybe Louis is one of the reasons here that one of those exits did materialize, but they have done, and we have seen others doing some very successful investments as well. And to if I want to summarize what we see going forward, is that people, investors, hoteliers, the local stakeholders have realized the potential of other destinations outside the classic Crete, Rhodes, Corfu, or the main popular destinations in Kyklades. But also now more investments is going to take place in places like Chalkidiki, Peloponnese, West, South, Zante, and in other interesting, I would say, areas, whereby, and we have seen and we are seeing more and more, and it costs as well. And obviously this is because, one, the banks, and I'm not going to elaborate further on that, but the banks are willing to support interesting projects, especially because of the tools that are available, including the RRF funding, but also because, you know, the Greece is not just one or two places. Greece is on its own a good brand, and a lot of people would like to do holidays in all the nice places that Greece has to offer. And one thing that is very important is that this growth, obviously, we also expect in the next few years, based on the pipeline and all the projects that are being actually being matured as we speak or start to be developed, we expect a 3 billion euros of investment in the coming years on the existing known pipeline. So you can see that the prospects are really positive. But on the downside, this brings some challenges, which we could discuss further. Challenges that have to do with transportation, of course, and we have some people here that will discuss about it. Challenges that have to do also with infrastructure or lack of infrastructure, and also seasonality, because still the seasonality hasn't expanded as much. Things have progressed. There have been projects that are expanding seasonality, but seasonality should also come along with transportation links and infrastructure. So the prospects are very positive. There is pipeline, but there are challenges, and we need to work like what we're doing in this panel, all the stakeholders together, based on a strategic vision of how the future should look like.
Thank you. Thank you, Yanis. It was a good, broad market overview. Let's now hear what an international investor has to say about this, perhaps the biggest international investor in Greece. Luis Pikas is Asmarats is the senior director of investment at Hotel Investment Partners, HIP, which owns 72 hotels totaling more than 22,000 keys, and is the Blackstone and GIC, which is the Singapore sovereign fund vehicle to invest in the hospitality business in Southern Europe. Luis has been leading the international expansion in Greece and Italy. He has more than 20 years of experience in investment banking and has developed his professional career in Sao Paulo, London, Madrid, Barcelona, and Mexico City. He holds a degree in international engineering from UPC and an MBA from IESE Business School and the Fuqua School of Business at Duke. So, Luis, how does the Greek market compare to the Spanish and Italian market? And what is your outlook for 2025, and what do you believe is the outlook for the market, for the Greek market?
Good afternoon, good afternoon, everyone. And first of all, I would like to thank Nico and Olga and all the Capital Link team for having me here another year. Especially this year, I would say it's been a great year for HIP, because we managed to add three new hotels into our portfolio in Greece. We just acquired the Grand Hyatt Hotel in Athens, the Miramare Hotel in Rhodes, which was a former Onassis property, and a second hotel in Chalkidiki called Alexander the Great. So in total now in Greece we own 10 hotels and more than 2,600 rooms. So to this year, let's say, all the investments have been done in Greece. Coming back to your question about how Greece compares with other destinations where we've been investing and what is my outlook for 2025, I would say that in the main difference between Greece, Italy, or Spain, I think are two, right? One is, first of all, the size of the market, and the second one is the level of penetration of institutional investors like us, right? I was reading when I was coming here that in Spain this year, in 24, we will have about 95 million international tourists, okay? And that will put Spain as the largest market in the world. Just to compare it, Italy will have like 60 million, and Greece had in 2023 36 million, right? So it's a smaller market. But another big difference, and which is very important, is the level of penetration of institutional investors, okay, which at the moment is not that high. I believe that after the upgrade of the rating to investment grade, we'll have more and more coming. But if you have a smaller market and not that many institutional investors, what you have is a market with less deal flow, less liquidity, and the most important thing, that you are you will have to discuss and to negotiate with family in order to acquire properties, right? So I would say that the most important fact here is that, as an investor, is that when you want to invest in Greece on the hospitality business, you will most probably end up talking with families, because this is a very atomized market, right? In answering about or going to the question about 2025 outlook, I would say that we are in a lovely industry, okay, where that has demonstrated that it's very resilient, right? We had the pandemic and we recovered. And I will give you just an example. In 2024, we had the Olympics, we had the Euro Cup, French elections, and it is true that between March and June, we felt like a slowdown on the pickup of the reservations. But finally, in 2024, we ended up with an increase on total revenues on our like-for-like portfolio of 10%, right? So we ended up in this positive situation. Then, if we look at 2025, now I was looking, our business on books versus last year is plus 20%. Okay? It is true that for Q1, okay, it is true that Q1 now in Southern Europe, the only hotels that will be open are the ones in the Canary Island, okay? But it's a signal that, let's say, that the market is still strong, okay? And I'm also quite optimistic, and of course my colleagues will have more details, but I'm also quite optimistic about a decrease on the base rate of the Euribor, okay? So I think that the financing cost will help and will help the investors in order to get the leverage returns. So in general terms, I see a very positive outlook. We cannot, let's say, relax. We need to keep an eye on, for example, the German economy, which is the German market is one of the two largest markets for the resort business. We need also to keep an eye on some big airlines that has announced a little shortcut or reduction on the traffic for next season. And a bit being careful with over-tourism in some specific destinations, for example, Mykonos. But I'm really optimistic for 2025.
Thank you. Thank you, Luis. So we heard the views of an advisor, the views of an investor, and let's hear the views of a banker. So let me turn now to Yanis Emiris. Yanis is heading the wholesale banking and franchise of Alfa-Bank and is a member of the bank's ExCo. He has been with the bank since 1991, starting as an investment banker, with a break between 2012 and 2014, where he headed as CEO the Greek privatization fund. He's also currently chairman of the board of Alpha Bank Factors and a board member of the Hellenic Energy Exchange and its clearinghouse. He has participated in numerous major financing and other landmark transactions, including some of the most prominent privatizations and capital raising over the last 30 years. He has earned an MBA from Columbia Business School, and he's also a U.S. certified public accountant. His first degree is in economics and business administration from Athens University of Economics and Business. So Yanis, what's your view on all of this that you heard? You're constantly interacting as a bank with investors in the hospitality industry. Where do you see the opportunities and that were described by Ioannis and Luis?
Okay, thank you very much. And thank you very much for the invitation to the organizers, Nikos and Olga. And thank you. I think it is a fantastic event. Congratulations and keep up the good job. Now, I don't think that you can hear from me very different things from the ones that you heard before. But just to summarize, I would say that strategically, it seems that Greece has embarked into some very significant steps a few years ago. I mean, about 10 to 15 years ago, with the privatization of certain strategic assets. In the sense that it has privatized some transportation infrastructures, like the airports. Of course, some of them were built and privatized well before, like the Athens International Airport, but the regional airports, I think, they changed the whole image of resort tourism in Greece. So that was one very significant thing. And the other thing is that throughout all these years, I think that hoteliers, with obviously the support of the banks, they did a very good job, and they have upgraded the infrastructure. They have very correctly focused in the luxury, I would say, and the high quality, should I say, segment. And it is characteristic that in the last 15 years, we have seen an increase in the 4- and 5-star hotels by approximately 10 percentage points. So that was very important. Overall, obviously, the environment is conducive. Greece is in a good crossroads with political stability, economic stability, and so on. So this constitutes a good, I think, environment for business. Overall, leisure internationally, but also in Greece, has been doing quite well. And now we are in a position where we have a most probably falling base rates, banks continuing to finance, and you have also RRF, which is also conducive. So things are, I think, in a good track. As Yanis pointed out before, there is an increase and intensive, I would say, and we speak as well, an intensive investment in the high end of the spectrum, in the luxury spectrum. It seems that there is still room to grow in the luxury segment, and a testament to that is the fact that many excellent operators and brands are getting in the country. And similarly, the fact that some of these operators, and especially some of the investors that have invested in the country, are successfully exiting the country. So I think this caters to one of the question marks that exist in a small destination like Greece and a small market, investment market in Greece. And this is the depth of the market, to the extent that you have successful exits and re-enters. Re-entering of investors. I think this is, you know, something that is very good. I think that Greece is a market that is very fragmented. That's the main characteristic. You have many hoteliers that are family-run businesses. You do have institutional hospitality as well that is increasing. But the fact that you have many family-run businesses is a very significant characteristic. Now, these family-run businesses, they have a challenge, especially as far as the new generation enters the business. And what we in general see is that sometimes groups that have been created throughout a number of years, they do break up when succession comes in. So I think that there is a challenge as far as the Greek family businesses to keep the businesses together and to turn to professional management and or select who is the successor that is going to run that. By the same token, this can be the transactors of tomorrow, and they can supply international chains that that need to get the appropriate size with additional business. Overall, we have seen, apart from these trends, we have seen one or two other things that are interesting. We see that there is an increase in mixed-use investments, especially the branded residences, that is something which is along with a hotel, I mean, which is something that does exist worldwide. And in Greece, there is a very significant undersupply of that. So that there is an opportunity in that segment. And I think the added advantage of the branded residences is that they enhance the returns of the developers because you have the ability to get cash fast and also decrease the financing needs. So this is something that we see that is going to be the state of play in the market. And also, one other thing that we have seen as a remark, I would say, is that we have seen some players that that cater to large flows of customers, like my friend Panos here, that they integrate in the hotel business. I mean, they do have the flows from passengers that they serve, and they also participate. They also build hotels in some of the destinations, and they can also create destinations. But he's going to be the one who's going to develop that. Or you have seen similarly an investment by the hotelier Konstantakopoulos in some infrastructure assets. So I think that more or less this is the environment that we see.
Okay. So let's turn to Panos, who is the CEO of Attica Group, one of the leading ferry operators worldwide, based in Greece. He joined the group in 2012 and has more of 20 years of experience in shipping, finance, and investment banking. Prior to joining Attica he held the position as a shipping manager in the Investment Bank of Greece, responsible for financing and investment banking services to the maritime sector. So Panos is also an elected member of the board of directors of the Hellenic Chamber of Shipping, and he holds a bachelor's degree in maritime studies from University of Piraeus and an MBA from the RSM Rotterdam School of Management. So Panos, Yannis hinted that you're not just a ferry company, and it's probably you merit being here on the hospitality panel. What do you think? Do you think it's right or wrong? I mean,
well, someone would wonder why a ferry company is in a hospitality and tourism panel. First of all, let me thank Capital Link for arranging this amazing conference and for being here and having the chance to perhaps make the link between ferry, because the ferry business for Greece is unique, I would say, worldwide. First of all, Greece is an insular country, we all know that. 227 islands, of which only 26 have airport. So all other depends solely on the ferries for all the transportation needs. So we think ferry is a core infrastructure for the country. First, because people living in the island depend solely on the ferry. It's a lifeline connection. Secondly, it's a floating bridge for the cargo flows, for the transportation of goods, supplies, the materials for the refurbishment and the construction of the hotels and the tourism industry. And third and most important, for the transportation of all the touristic flows during the peak season. the Greek ferries transport 18% of the total European passenger transport. Greece accounts for 2% of the EU population. And according to the Foundation for Economic and Industrial Studies, IOVE for the Greeks, the contribution of passenger shipping in Greek GDP stands at 5.4% of the Greek GDP. And it's no surprise, I suppose, to anyone that 60% of that comes from the economic and touristic activity of the islands. So, in Attica is the largest ferry operator in Greece. It's one of the largest ferry operators worldwide. And actually, our fleet is a fleet with the largest capacity in passengers worldwide. We carry about 7.5 million passengers a year. Another angle which is mentioned before about family companies, because family companies is something that is also very known to ferry business in Greece, and which is, I would say, unique for Attica, is our ESG involvement almost has started 20 years ago. It was not very common at that time. We were the first company to adopt, ferry company worldwide, to adopt the GRI standards back in 2008. And currently we are assessed by Standard & Poor's being on the 25% top league, not of the ferry, not of the shipping, but of the infrastructure and transportation sector worldwide. At the same time, yes, as was mentioned by Yanis, we have also lately been investing selectively in the hotel business. We have already acquired 3 hotels in the islands where we operate, and we aim to continue to do so, and we have the aspiration of, you know, deriving synergies between our cost and revenue base with the core business, the passenger business, and offer a more holistic product to our customers. So, I hope I might have explained why ferry business and hospitality business in Greece are very much linked together.
Thank you, Panos. Now, let me turn to more infrastructure, to George Kalimasias, who is the Chief Strategy Officer of the Athens International Airport. In this position, George has successfully led significant strategic projects, including the 20-year extension of the company's concession period and the company's listing on the Athens Exchange in 2024. Happy to say we worked both on those projects together. He joined the company in 1999, and before joining the Athens International Airport, worked for Deloitte and for Enterprise Greece. George holds a degree in chemical engineering from the University of Patras and an MBA from Lancaster University. So, George, as probably being the representing the heaviest infrastructure project related to tourism in Greece, and having heard that 2024 seems to be heading for another record year, do you see this being, you know, reflected in the performance of the Athens Airport? And what are your plans for the future? I mean, what are you going to be doing in infrastructure and sustainability, and are these things becoming more of your concern?
Of course. Thank you, George. And let me also thank Mr. Bornozis and Mrs. Bornozis for the invitation and for congratulations to the Capital Link team for the organization of this event. Tourism is strongly linked with aviation. Given the position of Greece in the world, the majority of tourism, incoming tourism, comes to the country through aviation. Athens Airport represents approximately 35% of the total aviation traffic in Greece. And indeed, we have seen record numbers. 2019, before COVID, was a record year. And we have managed to exceed the COVID numbers, the pre-COVID numbers, by almost 25% in the 2 years, 23, 24. 24 is also a great year, and I would say that Athens is a positive outlier compared to European airports. This year especially, we are in our category of what are called as mega airports, which are the airports of traffic exceeding 25 million. We are number one in the growth compared to the levels before COVID and compared to last year as well. Majority of the growth comes from international traffic, 16% growth in international traffic this year, about 13% growth in incoming foreigners. All markets, with the exception of Israel and to a lesser extent Romania, all major markets, the top 20 markets, are performing positively. And being here also in the U.S., it's important to say that U.S. residents are the number one segment of incoming tourism in Athens, in airport as well. And we have the highest connectivity ever, with direct connectivity with the United States. The most of the frequencies and destinations that we have ever served in our history. So yes, tourism has been reflected. The evolution of tourism over the last years has been reflected in our numbers. We are, as Athens Airport, we have been working with all major stakeholders in the tourism value chain. And we are also, I think, we are doing much more than what is expected from a typical airport company in what is called destination marketing. We have developed, back in 2016, a public-private partnership with the City of Athens and GIAN called This is Athens and Partners. And since then, more stakeholders from the tourism industry have joined, aiming to promote the destination of Athens, prolong the length of stay of the tourists in Athens, and also attract what is called affluent segments of our traffic. Now, going into a couple of the challenges, infrastructure you mentioned and sustainability, both of these are challenges for all infrastructure projects. So there is challenges in the tourism industry as well. The airport has managed to provide very high quality of services, and we offer what we call value for money services, meaning that we want to ensure that, you know, we charge fees to our users and customers, and we want to make sure that there's a value proposition in that. Now, of course, with the evolution of tourism over the last couple of years, we have embarked already in an expansion project of our airport. We are going to expand our terminal facilities, and we are going to increase our capacity by about 30%. We are going to develop a new multi-story car parking, and we are going to build also aircraft parking positions. This is a program that for which we have recently signed a loan agreement with Alpha Bank. We thank them for that, in the order of 800 million. So it was, let's say, a significant milestone in the history of the airport company, that we are going to grow our infrastructure and facilities significantly. And on sustainability, we were the first, and we are still the only Greek airport that is carbon neutral. We have reduced our electricity needs by more than 60%. Currently, all the electricity that is being consumed in Athens, by 45% of the electricity that is consumed in Athens comes from clean sources. We have installed two photovoltaic parks of 8 and 16 megawatts on-site, producing electricity, and we have launched since 2019 a very ambitious program that we call it Route 2025, with a target to reach net zero carbon emissions by 2025 by implementing another photovoltaic park and additional initiatives. And by the end of next year, we are going to be much ahead of the industry's pledge. We are going to be net zero carbon. So I think we've done a number of steps in sustainability. Of course, the challenge is still there.
Thank you. Thank you, George. Now we're going to go to a play of 60 seconds answers. And I'll start with George, who overdid it a bit, but anyway. So how do you think, you know, your listing is influencing your prospects and the tourism in general? 60 seconds.
60 seconds, okay. Maybe I can do it short, in less time than that. I will say a couple of things that it was an exciting, a really exciting project. We have now access to different sources of funding and different investors. This has also helped and enabled the company to mature its governance system. So this is a significant step for the company. On the relationship with tourism, I think it's the experience that we received from equity investors is that they wanted to participate in the tourism story of Greece. And there were limited opportunities because there were very few companies that are listed related to tourism that are listed in the Athens Exchange, and the listing of Athens provided to them this opportunity to participate in the prospects of Greek tourism.
Thank you. Yanis, how is the banking industry? What can you do to support tourism? Any good ideas, any good propositions, which are so good that you can describe them in 60 seconds? And
get come to Alpha Bank.
People around. Yeah.
Okay, well, in the last... I would say a few years, it's the Greek banking system that has been supporting these investments that took place in the country. Obviously, international financing is non-existent for the moment, for a good reason that tourism is a local industry, but also usually international banks don't participate in a country that was under crisis. We have been favored by the RRF that is providing, in fact, it's a collaborator with us. It's providing cheap funding for a long time in fixed funding. So I think that there has not been any problem in financing large projects in Greece. We, in the last 6 years, have participated in all major international financings, international investments, and have mobilized, along with investor funds, investments of 2.6 billion in the last few years. It is important for the banks to have a very significant footprint in the country. That's what we do, because we know the specificities of the various local communities and the families. We know the transactors, so we can supply, we can give certainty, and cover the information asymmetry that exists between the local players and the international players. That's, I think, very significant. So I think that more or less this...
Thank you, Yanis. You almost made it in 60 seconds. Panos, where are the opportunities in your sector? 60 seconds.
Well, in Attica, we drove a cycle of consolidation over the last few years, having acquired Hellenic Seaways and Anek Lines. And from 12 vessels, now we own 43 vessels. So a major challenge and opportunity for the future is exactly the decarbonization of this size of fleet. We have already started more than five years ago, forming a decarbonization working group internally, putting in place a 10-year roadmap of decarbonization, and have already started investing for the last 2 years. Also tapping the RRF market, which in a capital-intensive industry and during this cycle of hiking of interest rates is rather important. So we have a plan and we are executing this plan. And a second, I would say, pillar would be the digitalization of the business, a business that is not, though digitalized, especially in the ferry sector in the Mediterranean. And finally, also working together with the government towards putting in place some proper port infrastructure, especially in the islands.
Thank you. The clock is running out of time, but we started early, so we deserve another 2 minutes. So, Ioannis,
Where do you see the opportunities? Can we attract more foreign investment in tourism? 60 seconds,
okay. We should have done that from the beginning. We should all be like 60 seconds. It would be amazing. Look, the interest is there. The international investors are interested for more projects. We have seen, and that's my job. We discuss with the capital markets. We see that a lot of investors who have not invested are looking for product. You know, they cannot find the product or they may be not competitive enough. We see also local hoteliers, family businesses who are very successful, who have a succession plan. They're actually consolidating. They're expanding as well with the support of the banks, and they are very competitive. And they outbid a lot of times the international investors. So what we want is probably more opportunity for more products, and that might come from certain family businesses with no succession plan, but will also come from new green or brownfield developments that will address all the sustainability aspects, and at the same time from certain exits that we're expecting that are going to happen. We want this ecosystem to grow. We want more players to be active. We want more competition, but also to focus on other segments, because the majority have been focusing on one or two segments, which is perfect, ultra-luxury or luxury. But there is the lifestyle, there is like the four-star, there is the three-star. We should not ignore the core of our tourism, which is also families. At the same time, the infrastructure and the transportation and the cost of transportation need to catch up. So whoever brings smart money, sophisticated money, but also they invest for the future of the country, not just to flip around assets, I think Greece will provide a lot of opportunities, and we are there to support.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Luis, what's your charm? How did you manage to do so well? I mean, I know from personal experience that you're pushing your lawyers to extremes, but that's not a good enough answer. So,
and their advisor, and the other
deal
advisor.
With the investors.
George, I'll be very quick. First of all, my secret is that I'm very well surrounded, okay, and my lawyers know very well exactly what to do. No, in terms of, I will explain. We entered in 2019, and out of the 10 acquisitions, 9 have been done through 2 families. Okay, so again, we are here talking about hospitality business in Greece, and we need to talk about families, right? Let me share a little bit, a couple of knowledge or know-how that I got from this experience. When we entered in 2019, we acquired 5 hotels to Mr. Kostakis Loizou from Louis Hotels. Then we have also done several acquisitions to families like Das Kontoranakis. We have done business with Mitzis, Atlantica, all of them, okay? And my understanding is that basically if you want to do business with families, the first thing you need to do is to be patient, to listen. You need to listen a lot, because basically what we have managed to do is to create a tailor-made transaction or tailor-made structure, okay? So you need to listen a lot, so you propose something that fits to the family, which at the end is second or third generation, and they will decide exactly when they are ready and almost the price that they want to get, okay? So one thing that we managed to do, for example, is there was a family that had a hotel in Elunda. We had a hotel in Hania. We needed a hotel in Elunda. The hotel needed capex. So what the family said is, listen, I'm going to sell you the hotel, but you will refurbish and I will continue operating, okay? This is what we call a sale and management back. We did that. Then he said, listen, for me it will be also interesting to get international. We said, okay, good. Once you prove us that you are operating well the hotel in Elunda and other hotels, in Corfu and Zante, for example, we will help you to go to Portugal. And this happens as well, and now we're extremely happy also with the operations of Portugal. Okay, so at the end, patience and listening in order to build a tailor-made transaction.
Well, thank you very much. We don't have any more time, and thank you for your patience and attention.